EY.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging with you at the helm of some very choppy waters. I'm talking a lot of white caps out there. Man, over the weekend it was rough, especially in Afghanistan. We'll get to that in a second. But right off the bat, let's lighten the load. Hollywood giving out their big gold-plated statues. Woohoo! Do you care about the Oscars? I actually, you know when you watch something, it's on in the background. I actually had it on in the background, and I'm broadcasting from New Jersey, my childhood home. So my brother is home, and he did not like the idea that I was watching the Oscars because he thought it was fluff and stuff. And he's right. It is fluff and stuff. But it was just a mild buzz in the background. So when somebody gave a good speech, I would jolt it up and listen to the speech. Best actor, Jean Desjardins, the artiste. Or the artist. No words spoken in that movie. Best actress, Meryl Streep, Iron Lady, her third Oscar. Best picture, always a big deal, The Artist. 9 movies. How crazy is that? That is a huge category. Best director was The Artist, the guy behind The Artist, too. Supporting actress, Octavia Spencer, The Help. And supporting actor, Christopher Plummer, for a movie called The Beginners. I didn't see that movie, but people say it's pretty good. We'll let you hear snippets of that a little bit later in the show. It wasn't about Hollywood. It wasn't about actors. Instead, it was about some real hard reality. We've talked about this for a long time, no doubt about it. The situation in Afghanistan, you have to ask yourself this question. And the question is, where do we go from here in Afghanistan? Over the weekend, once again, more violence, riots. Two troops killed, a U.S. lieutenant colonel and a major. And here's the key thing about this story. They were in a heavily guarded Afghan ministry. And the idea behind these ministries and in between all the places where the ministries are is that we would mentor, the U.S. would have a mentoring program along with NATO to try to help that country rebuild the government. The idea is now we're going to rebuild the government. That's why the ambassador, Ryan Crocker, who held that role in Iraq, was pushed into Afghanistan or asked if he would serve as that ambassador role in Afghanistan. So the Taliban says the reason those two were killed is for retaliation for the inadvertent burning of the Quran. Now, the story of the Quran, in case you haven't heard, is they were cleaning a section of Bagram Air Force Base. The knuckleheads, idiots, whatever you want to call them, who were cleaning, had a couple of copies. They burned them. They burned something else that was there, too, but it doesn't matter. They burned the Quran. Okay, not good. So you have, you know, the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, come out and say, look, we're going to investigate it. I apologize, all the other stuff. Then you have Obama, who I think the president making it worse by apologizing. Who cares? I don't think he needed to apologize. I think Leon Panetta was enough. Close the door on that. Leon Panetta apologizes. So now we have yet more bloodshed, and this time specifically over this Quran incident, anti-U.S. demonstrations outside of Kabul, thousands of people gathering. You know, how is this worth it? So what do we do from here, like I said? Do we stick it out in Afghanistan? Do we dig in and do whatever we can because you don't want Al-Qaeda to grab hold again or the Taliban? Or do we cut and run? When 2014 comes around, do we leave that country, that cesspool? I say cesspool, not for the people that are there, the poor, illiterate people, but for the Taliban and ultimately the tentacles that I've talked about before that they have all over the sands of that country. How much more blood, how much more of an investment do we make? And yet Hamid Karzai, the president, who couldn't be more riddled with corruption and nepotism around him, does nothing to apologize for our soldiers who are killed while they're being guarded in a heavily guarded Afghan unit in a ministry. So what happens as a result? This great mentoring program, the way to make the transition for that government, has to be shut down. All the NATO personnel, all the U.S. personnel scatter because it's too dangerous for them. And like I said, I hate to start this way, but this so stuck in my crawl over the weekend when I thought about it. John McCain, the senator from Arizona, says we have to stay. If we don't stay, we'll regret it because we'll have attacks in the United States. Whatever it takes, we have to stay. Ryan Crocker, the ambassador. In fact, I'm going to let you hear what Ryan Crocker had to say over these deaths and the situation in that country.
I think we're all hopeful that the appeal for calm that President Karzai made today, and he did so with the backing of the entire political leadership of the country, will create a condition in which this diminishes. Tensions are running very high here, and I think we need to let things calm down, return to a more normal atmosphere, and then get on with business. And it doesn't mean that we're not doing business now. We are. This is not the time to decide that we're done here. We've got to redouble our efforts. We've got to create a situation in which Al-Qaeda is not coming back.
All right, so do we bring the troops home or do we leave the troops there? Ultimately, what is the play? You make the call. If you had to make the call, what would you do? I noticed being in New Jersey, some of the towns that we went through today, I was headed to Cape May, New Jersey, and some of the small towns dotting the way had flags in front, had pictures of soldiers, loved ones, yellow ribbons were out. And obviously we know how to make the connection there. And I was thinking to myself, boy, these are these suburban families in New Jersey behind the walls of their house hoping that their husband, brother, son comes back. And to what end do we continue to invest there? At what point do we say, enough is enough? I don't think Karzai gets it. I'm not so sure that we can ultimately leave here and say the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, whatever serpent you want to paint, isn't going to continue to dig in and win over the people there because of the difference, first of all, in Iraq and Afghanistan, that I've pointed out many times, is the illiteracy rates. The people of those two countries could not be more different. You might see it a different way. You know what you do? You dial these digits, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, or you can send me an email at americatonight.net. It drops down, bada bing, as Tony Soprano, one of my all-time favorite make-believe characters, would say, yeah, in, just like that. What do you think? More money, more manpower, more investment in the situation in Afghanistan, more diplomacy. Is this just, unfortunately, another one of those horrible incidents that we have to deal with, that we have to frame, and we have to move on from? Stay with us. We're kicking that can down the road next on America Tonight.
Have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 Three garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. Treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but I'll never get inside. We got too much to hide.
So tonight, enjoy yourselves, because nothing can take the sting out of the world's economic problems like watching millionaires present each other with golden statues.
You gotta live or love Billy Crystal. I'd say thumbs up for his performance, what I could see of it anyway, for this Oscars this time around. He was the host once again. He's done it a ton of times in his career, and he just had those great one-liners. He's talented when it comes to, I think, doing something like that, massaging the egos in Hollywood. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll let you hear a few of those acceptance speeches, and then you can rate them. You can decide what you think. But right now, we're talking about Afghanistan. Time to cut and run there or dig in. Should we stay until we've won? Of course, won being the operative word, I don't know that we would ever be able to walk away from that country and say we've won, much like Iraq. Did we win? Was it a draw? Did we help? How will history judge it? We still don't know at this point. And I think with Afghanistan, you know, do we leave by 2013, 2014, or do we do what the ambassador wants, Ryan Crocker, and redouble the efforts to make sure that al-Qaeda does not come back, because that's what he says, based on what he's seen and what he saw in Iraq. Crocker believes that it would be deadly and in our worst interest not to stay and fight and to pump more money into this. So now we've got more demonstrations, as I said, in Kabul. You had a couple of servicemen who were killed, and Afghan police were also, by the way, injured in this. And there was massive protests, and all of this was over the burning of this Quran at Bagram Air Force Base. So now it's gotten nasty and ugly, and Of course, it's an easy thing to blow up, and it's been blown up according to people at Bagram. It's been blown out of proportion, although they're very reluctant to say that. And as I mentioned already, you have the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, looking into this. But the targeting of Americans has gotten out of hand, out of control, and makes me go crazy. I mean, it makes me out of my mind. I don't know how you feel about it. But remember, if you're listening to me and you're driving down some lonely road somewhere or deserted road in Kentucky or Nevada or Florida or Texas, anywhere in any of the great states and beyond, you know, when you start to think about what you're hearing when you hear the snippets of news at the top of the hour and you hear, oh, two servicemen were killed, these many people were killed, and it's all because of the Quran and the reaction to that, and then Hamid Karzai saying that the emotions of our people over the burned Qurans are legitimate and valuable. But then he says, oh, but stay calm. It's legitimate that you're crazy out of your mind, you're rioting, and you're trying to kill Americans, but on second thought, stay calm. And it'll help stop enemies of our peace and stability from taking advantage and harming people and property. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I think that's how I interpret that. Crocker flat out says attacks up north were nasty. The rest of the country was pretty calm. But how long until we pay the ultimate price? I mean, it raises the question about our presence and focusing on the military advisors that we use, the idea of the mentoring, which now, of course, has stopped dead in its tracks. It seemed like there was some success and some traction going on there. But how can you have any kind of success with that, which is so important in trying to set up this government, when you can't even guarantee the safety of the people who realize it's a dangerous area? But because of blowback on a Quran burning, soldiers are killed. Who let them in? How do they get past the Afghanistan guards who are supposedly smothering this ministry? That would be my number one question. How did that happen? So 800-259-5791. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as we stroll down this familiar path. Many of you have already sounded off through the miracle of chat. And here's what Jack says. Pull all the troops out tomorrow, but leave with a warning to the Afghan people. Get your crap together. Deal with your internal issues. If it spills out to affect outside of your borders, then we'll turn Afghanistan to glass. Oh, Jack, he must have heard me say that before. And I'm sure he has the same opinion. All right, then there's Rise Up Stand Up, who says Crocker is corrupt. Leave. Afghanistan is a money pit. And by the way, through one, I wanted Tinker Taylor, you know, that movie Tinker Taylor Soldier, whatever it is, wanted Gary Oldman to win, but he didn't win for Best Actor. And then said Meryl was great. That's in our next segment, mixed in with this talk here. All right, here's some more. Highlight says, do we have troops that must be killed quota? Do we have a kill quota? And then the troops are guarding the opium fields for the CIA. Oh, I love conspiracy, baby. Slip that in just a little bit. For the CIA, too important to the U.S. to further destabilize the American society. And ultimately, bring our troops home seems to be the resounding cry. John McCain would not like that. There are, you know, Ryan Crocker would not like that, as he says he risks his life to once again serve because his family really didn't want him to go back and do it a second time. And, I mean, here's the thing. If the Quran is burned, and then that comes out, and that was an unbelievable mistake. Once that happens, then you have this retaliation with troops who are sent into that country to fight what? Terrorism. And now what are they doing? Helping a bunch of lunatics, fringe lunatics. That's the problem. And it's our taxpayer dollars and our people's lives at stake here over this melee. How many more times do we have to get kicked in the butt before we realize we cannot do this any longer? Sorry, Senator McCain. I feel you. I understand. I understand that you truly believe if we don't double our efforts, if we don't stay and dig in, this ultimately will reach us on our shores. I disagree respectfully, because it is already a threat on our shores no matter what. And if we leave, how much worse does the hornet's nest get? Because I truly think in Afghanistan, much different than Iraq, where there is still some hope there, even with the religious issues, in Afghanistan, you're dealing with something completely different. And once we pull out, especially if we haven't been able to mentor and train anybody in the form of government that would be some sort of democracy, then what are we leaving? The Taliban has the money. The Taliban has the weapons. The Taliban is retraining constantly. Whatever the numbers are, small, medium, or large, it doesn't matter. If you're trying to survive and you live in an area where most of the news that you get is completely from your religious institution, in other words, going to the mosque, that's where word spreads, what do you think the word is about America? What do you think they're saying now, and this is why we're seeing these riots, because of that Quran burning? And how long would it take to turn that public relations nightmare around? And the answer is too much time. That's the problem. Too much time. We can't invest enough to stay there. Do we want to stay there another 5 years? Do we want to stay there another 10 years? Can you imagine that? What if it's 20 years later and we're still in Afghanistan? Oh, and it sounds ridiculous and exaggerated to say that, but not that far-fetched. Not that far-fetched if we keep investing, if we keep staying there. And yet Hamid Karzai plays both sides of this equation. You know he's playing both sides of the equation. And do you think we can really leave and think that the Taliban isn't going to go back and try to win over as many people as they can? I like what Rise Up Stand Up said. Karzai is corrupt. Do you really expect him to apologize for our troops being killed? No. He should have, though. Oscars coming up next.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options. Or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Get over 6,000 preparedness items. Get you ready. That's what you'll find at GetReadySurvival.com. Over 6,000 preparedness items. And counting. Because we're adding new items nearly every day. GetReadySurvival.com has it all. Small and family-sized tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, food supplies. Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. Portable water filters, canteens and hydropacks, knives, axes, shovels, compasses, camouflage and tactical gear, fire starters and ammunition. It's all at GetReadySurvival.com. How about first aid medical, emergency, or small personal survival kits? Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. If you are not prepared or just semi-prepared, the place to get prepared now is GetReadySurvival.com. Got questions? Call 928-541-9723. That's 928-541-9723. Or go to GetReadySurvival.com. And remember, survival preparedness means living on your own terms.
Listening to my voice right now are actually sporting a tattoo of some sort. I happened to dig this up, and there's a reason for this madness, because I said we're going to the Oscars in a second. I'm going to tell you what. And I saw this from American Inc. The Americans who say they have at least one tattoo on their body. So if you go back to 2003, 16% in this survey said they had a tattoo. 2012, 21%. People 30 to 39, the most tattooed, 38%, at least with one tat. 65 and up, I bet you mostly in the military, 5%. Those who have a tattoo, 14% have regretted at least one of their tattoos. I can only say that I've had temporary tattoos. I never had a tattoo. But I don't have anything anti-tattoo. I'm not against tattoos. And the reason I brought up tattoos is because Angelina Jolie took the stage, and she's a tat person. She had a couple of tats you could see. She had this flowing, revealing kind of red gown. You know, she has those red giant lips. And then you could see she's very thin, and you could see her tattoo, and I don't know what it was, if it was a snake or what it was. It was on the one side of her arm, and I thought, oh, that's funny. You know, if this were 40 years ago, she'd have to cover that up because they would just be aghast that she would have a tat that would show. But it wasn't about Angelina Jolie. It was about a couple of different pictures and certainly some of the actors. The most, I guess the biggest celebration was probably the artist, because you figure best director and best actor and a couple of other awards that they got as well. So the artist took away some big loot. And, you know, when you get best picture, best actor and best director, that's huge. That's the trifecta, along with a bunch of other awards, too. So Jean Dujardin, he spoke just two words, because there was actually two words in The Artist. I didn't realize that. Was beyond out of his mind when he jumped up and said, you know, I love your country, and was so excited, was so happy to get it. So it was kind of a neat moment. But I thought Christopher Plummer was interesting, too, because he wins for a movie called The Beginners that I didn't see, and he's the oldest person to ever get an Oscar, 82 years old. 82 years old, so think about that. And when Plummer got up, here's what he had to say.
When I first emerged from my mother's womb, I was already rehearsing my Academy thank you speech. But it was so long ago. Mercifully for you, I've forgotten it.
How about that? Then Meryl Streep, I mentioned her, too, at the top. She did Margaret Thatcher in a biopic, The Iron Lady, and this was her third statue, but she's been nominated 17 times, and I think she was shocked, actually. I think she thought Viola Davis, who was in a popular movie called The Help, I think she thought she was going to get the award. So she jumped up pretty surprised, it looked like, and I loved her little speech, because when I was saying, I was watching the fluff and stuff as noise in the back, I turned it up when she took the stage, and here's a little bit of that.
When they called my name, I had this feeling I could hear half of America going, oh, no. Oh, come on, why? Her. Again. You know? But, whatever.
You gotta love it. I love anyone who says whatever. If you say whatever, you're in my book, you're a good person. Thumbs up. And the other part of the speech that was interesting is she didn't thank 20,000 people behind her. She thanked the makeup person that had been with her forever, just on her first picture 37 years ago and all the way through The Iron Lady, because the makeup was the big thing. And right away she thanked her husband and said, you know, for once I'm going to thank my husband because of what he's given me in my life, and I don't want him to be trailed out with the music, because that's usually what happens with actors. They scream out their spouse's name or significant others or whatever as the music is trailing them off. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Octavia Spencer, a newbie, basically an unknown, who was part of that Help crew, also looked stunned when they called out her name. She wins for Best Supporting Actress. She was pretty teary-eyed. In fact, she just flat-out cried when she took the stage.
I share this with everybody. Thank you, Steven Spielberg, for changing my life. Thank you, Stacey Snyder, for changing my life. Please wrap up. I'm wrapping up. I'm sorry. I'm freaking out. Thank you, world.
All right, good for her. Martin Scorsese, by the way, had a 3D film that was wildly popular. I didn't see it. It's called Hugo, and it was up for awards in 11 categories. It did win 5 Oscars, including, which would be big for that kind of movie, Best Cinematography, Art Direction, and Sound Editing, and Sound Mixing, and Visual Effects, and that's huge, once again, for anything that would fall into that category. Woody Allen won the Best Original Screenplay for Midnight in Paris. I did see Midnight in Paris. I liked it because it was kind of a fantasy deal with Owen Wilson, where he would, when the clock struck 12, he would be hanging out in a different kind of Paris with, you know, Ernest Hemingway and Salvador Dali and a whole bunch of other people. And it was kind of interesting in the mind of, you know, how warped Woody Allen is, kind of in from his vision. But it wasn't a bad choice. And then The Descendants, which is the George Clooney movie, won for Best Adapted Screenplay, and that had a Hawaiian twist to it. So, you know, overall, there's some of your big winners. There were others, too, but that's just a handful of them. And the Oscars has its big night with Billy Crystal at the helm, making, as I mentioned at the top of the show, some pretty good jokes from what I could tell with the one-liners. Kept it short, sweet, that kind of thing. I think there was a number where they had Cirque du Soleil performing, and you know, it's always dicey as to what you're going to do in that kind of a show. And they kept it short. I think it was certainly under 3 hours anyway. Somebody who just tuned in is like, who cares? Why is she talking about an award show? I don't care about the award show. Who cares? It's a big night for Hollywood. Well, if you like pictures, and we do our cheap movie review once a week on ATN, so I feel like we need to at least mention who won the Oscars. Now, I'll tell you this, and flat out, this is the truth. It might be in the background, but I could care less, really, honestly. I could care less what any of the people were wearing. If you get up in the morning after you've done your third shift and you're bleary-eyed, tired, you're reaching for the coffee, and you flip on any of the morning shows, they'll be talking about that. And that I don't care about. I don't care about who wore what and what designer and who looked crummy and who whatever. Because to me, the men all look great unless they didn't wear a tux, because they all wear tuxes. Or if it's not a tux, it's something that looks like it's a tux. And for the women, sure, they're all shapes and sizes and wear different kinds of dresses, but it's become such a big deal. It's like a handicapping event that, to me, that part's boring. I think it's just more interesting to hear the speeches and to see some of the movies that perhaps we reviewed on the show and said, maybe you go out and see this on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and then to see that it actually wins a bunch of awards. And I didn't even see The Artist. I did see The Help, and it was good. I did see Iron Lady because I was interested in how Thatcher would come out in that portrayal. And I saw The Descendants and a lot of the other pictures that were nominated. But the one that cleaned up, we did not see. I did not see that. Our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, who comes on the show every Tuesday night, did see it, did like it, did predict that it probably would be a landslide for that movie, the whole black and white thing and the old Hollywood deal and all that sort of stuff. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about oil. How much are you paying at the pump? Now, if you're a movie star and you're being driven around in limousines in Los Angeles, someone else is footing the bill and you don't care so much. But if you're like the rest of us regular folks, you care, and people are talking about what they're paying at the pump. Filling up in New Jersey for a gallon of regular, $3.47, but it varied. I saw signs for $3.58 a gallon. The average is $3.69, so the average across the states. In California, they're paying, for the most part, up over $4. People are talking about gasoline big time, because once you start to feel that pinch, it's like we say, you have to open the wallet wider. Then you think about the time you spend commuting, how much of that money comes out of your pocket, how much of that comes out of your budget. And when you start to feel that squeeze, you start to squeal. But this is nothing new. We've been talking about gasoline for a long time. And it's funny, depending on who's in the White House, they blame the past administration. Or if they want to get into the White House and gas prices are particularly high for that time, then it's all about, listen, we need energy alternatives. We need to get a handle on the situation. We need to guarantee that Americans won't pay, what, $2.50 or less. They won't pay more than $2.50. That was the Newt Gingrich deal, which is coming up in the next week. We'll start to see maybe that half an hour time that he's paying for in some of those key states, because March 6th is the delegate grab for the Republicans, and his message is all about energy. And one of the big things and one of the big themes is keeping it at $2.50 or less. So we're going to dig back into the vault and let you hear what some politicians have said in the past when it comes to a spike in gasoline.
No matter if you're left, right,
or somewhere in the middle, you're listening to America Tonight with Kate Delaney.
Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
2012 is finally here, and while the government racks up another $1 trillion in debt, the IRS is hard at work collecting. In fact, they're even sending agents to some people's homes in place of business. If you owe back taxes, have years of unfiled tax returns, or are receiving threatening letters or phone calls, call the tax division of the law offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-652-6978. Our tax division is spearheaded by a former IRS agent with over 31 years experience. He knows the ins and outs of the IRS and how to get them off your back once and for all. The phone call is free and so is the consultation, so call now. 800-652-6978. That's 800-652-6978. Don't wait for agents to knock on your door. Call 800-652-6978 or visit us on the web at www.craigzlaw.com. You'll be glad you did.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Some gas in between our conversation about the high price of gasoline. As I mentioned, in New Jersey now, I can give you my current reference point, 347, and this was digging around, going a couple streets away from, like going a mile away from the other gas stations where it was 358. But most people are paying at least 369. You know, we always have this is an age-old argument, the gasoline argument, and what are you paying at the pump, and what does it mean for your family, and whose fault is it, and what are we doing with our energy alternatives, and that kind of thing. And I know that this is buzz that you can all relate to, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. So if we go back to 2008, and this was a big election year when you had Democrats and Republicans going at each other's throat, a gallon of regular gasoline was $1.87. So $1.87 back in 2008. You got 5 states over $4 right now. Ooh, that hurts. the gas spike. It does. It hurts. And people, I think people feel that and think, well, here's the thing. What is my threshold? Is it $4.50? Is it $5? Is it, and I think I said this last week before we skedaddled for the weekend and try to fill up our gas hogs or carpool or whatever to the golf course or to the movie theater. But there is a threshold, and I think the threshold is $4 and beyond. But if you were to hit, for sure, this election, I'm just going to throw out a crazy number. If there was a way, or if it happened, I'm not wishing this to happen because I don't want to pay this, but if gasoline were $6, let's say it was just flat out $6 for regular, because we're not even talking about premium, if gasoline was $6, I guarantee you, I would guarantee that it'd be pretty tough for Obama to win this election. Because no matter what he's done, if you put a scorecard out of positives, negatives, however you wanted to rank him on a scale of 1 to 10, if gasoline was that high, there is no way you are winning the presidential election, even if you're the incumbent. No way. Now, there's people listening to this show all over the world, in China, in Japan, in Canada, in Australia, and in a lot of the places where you're listening, you're laughing because you realize how much more you're paying than we are in the United States. $7 is the equivalent of $7 or more. And that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money when you commute. If somebody else is paying for it, if you're a salesperson, if the company that you work for, they're picking up, for whatever reason, they pick up your medical supply person, you deliver pizzas, whatever. If they pay for your mileage, they pay for the gasoline, maybe different. But for most people, the commute isn't covered. Essentially, you could use it maybe as a tax write-off, but then that also depends on what bracket you're in, what you do for a living, and that kind of thing. Otherwise, it's just a ton of money that's going out there. And if you've got a big SUV, shame on you for not switching when you had a chance, unless you're not really driving far. But if you're not driving far and you're running kids to soccer practices and you're running kids to school not too far away and you're not commuting 40 minutes or an hour each way every day, because that's when it would really cripple an average budget. I'm not talking about people who are making big bucks. I'm talking about people who are making a decent wage, not a fantastic blow-you-away amount of money. Because those people, it doesn't matter anyway. They're not worried about it. Or maybe they are worried about it, but ultimately they can pay it. It's that same old, not to start the class warfare thing, but it's that same old thing that we keep hearing about. It's called the middle class. There really is still a middle class somewhere. And they're the ones that would feel it. Think of a single mother who trying to make it, doing her best, and just can't take one more thing, can't take another hit to the head, because you only have so much. I mean, the going in and the coming out, that's the flow of money. Only if you work on Wall Street do you not worry about it, because you'll get it back in a big budget or somebody's going to cover you. Otherwise, the rest of us are responsible for the flow of money in and out. And if the money is not flowing in, how can you possibly go to work? How can you possibly do the things you need to do? And if somebody says, well, then you got to work closer. Well, then that's not realistic. How do you find a job closer? That's not a good answer. I heard somebody say that the other day on one of the Sunday shows, and I thought, I must be twisting things, because I think that's a terrible answer. It doesn't wash. Well, get a job closer. And what job would that be? Because that's what people are saying, that, you know, this is what they do. They just can't, they can't be crippled at the pump. They can't be crippled at the pump. Maybe more people will work from home. I mean, the future is that, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. Because if everybody's working at home, then I would worry about socialization. There would be very few lunches. There wouldn't be a lot of get-togethers where face-to-face people you work with, you saw each other. I guess you could say, well, through the miracle of Skype or FaceTime or whatever, you could certainly talk to somebody that way in a work environment. But, ooh, I think that changes the dynamic maybe too much. Some people working from home is good, but everybody working from home would be super, super dangerous. So oil surging, really, on the Iran situation. I mean, this is part of the problem, that the whole speculative stuff. Because I had a question that somebody sent me over the weekend. It was Big Bad Phil in Austin who asked, you know, what is the deal with the speculation? Can't we do something about that? It seems pretty ridiculous to me. And the answer is Iran knows what it's doing. Iran knows that they ultimately can control a little bit of this flow. And when I say flow, a little bit of the money flow. It's not just about the Strait of Hormuz and blocking the strait, although that can be part of it, is the fact that you have so many that are reliant on the oil from that area, from that country. Not so much the U.S., although you cannot completely say we're not reliant on some of the oil. So that's what happened. I mean, ultimately, this uranium warning thing and Iran and what they're doing is part of the reason for the jack-up, part of the reason for what we're seeing with, I'll tell you what it is, it's called Brent crude, which is the global benchmark. So when those oil prices go up, hey, if you've got oil stock, a little bit of oil money in somewhere in your collection, then you probably feel pretty good. But for everybody else, you're not liking that. We're talking about $125 a barrel. Prices have been rising to the tune of 15 cents in the last month. And this is with all these tensions with Iran and supply, possible disruptions, and smaller producers like Syria and Yemen, same thing, problems. You really start to cut off every spigot, and then you'll see just how sky high it'll be. Americans will be able to lament with the people in Europe as to how much we're paying when we pull up. That'll be a question of, well, I guess we'll get rid of some of the cars, because how could you afford to keep in your family two cars on the road if we're talking about, you know, $7 or whatever to fill up your tank? But will it get to that? Will it really get to that? We've had these conversations before. I mean, this is what you got to ask yourself. Will we ever really, really, honestly, will we ever really see $7 at an American gas station for a gallon of regular?
From coast to coast and all the places in between, you're listening to America Tonight with Kate Delaney.